believe in click it or tick it?
He has it all, yes he does. He knows how to please in every detail. He can do more than you'd ever imagine and do it with style.
Do it with grace. Oh yes, he does. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's Glenn Marshall. This is Click It or Ticket. How y'all doing tonight? It's been a while, right?
I'm Nick Schaefer here. This is the second attempt at recording this, this taboo podcast. You might call this taboo too.
Nick can do more than you've ever imagined.
Please, please. I mean, I only do it with grace. I don't do it with style. Well, I do it with style.
Knew just what Pete could do. You'd want him to if you only knew. Oh, man. So that was some taboo, too.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, seriously. Happy New Year. This is our first podcast of the new year.
I don't like it.
I don't like it one bit, but I do like that we came into my favorite porn movie of all time.
Pete Mugino here just chiming in.
Yeah, Pete.
Shut up, Pete.
I didn't introduce myself earlier, but here I am.
Oh, I know.
Pete, tell us about yourself. For the people who don't listen.
Yeah, so who are you, Pete? Who are you really?
Well, I was a Pisces. But
what are your hopes but not your dreams?
What?
What do you want but not what you
need? Quoting
my
favorite Keane album. I wouldn't say quoting, you're actually just saying the title of it. Which was actually re-released this year, I found out. Hopes and Fears was re-released this year.
Hey, Pete.
Hang on. No.
Did they re-release it?
It re-released it with like some sort of cover art. I don't even know what it was, but there was some kind of catch to it.
They usually re-release it with one extra track.
Yeah, I know, but the album came out in 2001. The reason I know this is I was actually when we were in Boston.
Yeah.
Everyone's watching Call of Duty right now. I'm sorry.
Sorry, you were in Boston. What was it? All right, Tanner
but
just
I was stuck
sniped
in traffic
someone with
for 2 hours because it was New Year's Eve and I was driving my brother to work.
He had to drop him off at work.
Our drop master.
Yeah, I was waiting to hang out with Pete and it took him like 4 fucking hours to get back. It was literally he could throw a rock like 5 times to get back to where we were, but it took him like 4 hours to
get
back. It's
one of those things where you think I would have been better off walking, but it's too late to make that decision.
Oh, yeah, but what's he supposed to do? Like abandon his car? You know?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
No. It wasn't. Walking was never an option.
Okay.
Essentially, I was stuck in downtown Boston. I was around like the Commons, but every street to make a right to get back to around, it's Brighton's where Swifty lives, but I was trying to get back to essentially around the Newton area, which is where I wound up crossing through. But I was stuck there, and I was listening to
local... What time of day was this?
What?
On New Year's Eve?
My brother had work at 5.
Yeah, so you left at 4.
Oh, yeah, but everyone's getting off of work.
He
and
didn't get
to,
back until like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, out of work.
At least
it was just like, you know, it's a major city and there were festivities going down. And some of the, there were some amazing lights set up. It was very cool.
Yeah,
like,
because it was New Year's.
New Year's Eve.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a, but, I was just trying to give it some context.
Yeah, there were actually some amazing, it was legitimately impressive. On the Commons, they had some pretty cool light just effects for New Year's Eve. But they shut down every right turn to make it back towards like the north end of Boston, essentially. They closed off every right turn possible for about 6 miles. So to go 2 blocks, it took me literally an hour.
Oh.
And I and in a city I'm only relatively familiar with,
yeah,
I
you
had
can't
to find
like,
my way back.
Do shortcuts or anything.
Regardless, what I was saying originally, the reason I know Keane is re-releasing Hopes and Fears, a 2001 album, is when I was stuck in this traffic. One of the local stations was, they were doing a countdown of the greatest songs of the decade. And it was based on their station's records, was kind of an alternative station.
Oh.
So it was actually pretty fun. Boston radio is highly superior to New York radio,
oh,
by the
God.
Way. Ladies
easily.
And gentlemen.
The sports radio, at least from what
I mean, we basically.
Oh, the sports radio is pretty good. The AM stuff is all right. But the FM, you know, you hear some underground stuff. You hear like some
Quincy
Stones, you hear your White Stripes. You hear.
When you say compared to New York radio, it's like the gossamer wings of beautiful sounds. You know, it's just.
Well, no, it's like comparing the number one market in the country to like the 20th or 15th market in the country. New York is the premier market.
It's a shitty,
so basically,
shitty
quality. All we have is a bunch of stations playing
lowest
like,
common denominator.
Either the same box of top 40 pop records or oldies, and that's it. And now Ranchero has started to creep in. So it's basically like L.A. with a little less Ranchero, but still no alternative music at all.
Regardless, the 84 on the countdown was, so now don't we go out somewhere only we know, we know by Keane.
Yeah,
which
so,
I remember coming out so as a joint release with the Snow Patrol album when I was probably
a
sophomore in
high
school.
Yeah, so I was just going to say they're re-releasing the Keane album Snow Patrol.
Exactly. But Hopes and Fears, they were saying 2001 album, re-released this year with special like bonus stuff. Like, it's Keane.
Yeah, no, who?
No, I want to know, like, what is the prerequisite for being able to re-release an album? Because I remember the Killers.
Well, it's not
released. They released Hot Fuss.
But I could see people being interested in that.
Yeah, they released
Hot
Fuss.
And that was a huge album.
What was it, 2003?
I wouldn't even argue that there is a prerequisite, though. It's just, why does Keane decide to re-release the one album that made them big again?
Wouldn't they have another album?
2010. 9 years later. It's like, what are you saying as an artist?
Yeah,
I remember when the Killers, they released that one album in 2003, Hot Fuss, and then they re-released it in 2005 with that extra song, Indie Rock and Roll, you know?
The bad
well,
one.
Well, actually, the original album that I heard of Hot Fuss was way before most
it's
of
the
you
UK
heard.
No, no, I know that.
Yeah, Indie Rock and Roll.
No, no, you heard the...
Just a little ahead of the curb here on...
No, I heard that as well. It was the advance for... The advance you got also had that on it. But then...
No, I'm not talking about that.
He's talking about the UK version.
Oh, yeah.
I was exposed to it way before anyone else was. And people were like, hey, have you heard Jenny Was a Friend of Mine? That's a great song. I'm like, you mean track one on Hot Fuss?
Before Kali? Because you heard that before Kali did? Because then you didn't hear
it. So anyway, weird to me, though, is who is actually so into Keane that they... Keane, to me, even the people who like Keane, nobody really
loves Keane. Have they not had another
Keane.
Album?
Exactly.
Ryan, go online.
They have
right
had
now.
Another album, because they had that song, Is It Any Wonder? That's what I thought you were talking about, was
even,
a re-release of
that,
dog
song.
Shit album.
You
do
know
that.
You're allowed to re-release another album after you have another album before it? Like,
no,
after it, I mean?
No, they go... All right,
no,
they went.
This was the later album.
They went 2001 album. Then they had another album like 2007.
Oh,
they've had multiple albums.
I didn't know you were allowed to re-release an album if you have another album after it.
That's what that was the whole point.
Yeah, that's
2001.
I thought that they were just like a barren wasteland of creativity, and they were re-releasing.
Funny story about Keane. Keane, the lead singer was. It was funny. The first time I was introduced to Keane, everyone was just saying it's Keane? Like they look like a group of really ugly women. And oddly enough, the lead singer looked, it was an uncanny resemblance to this teacher, Miss Wynn, me and Nick had.
Really? So they all look like fat
the lead
dykes.
Singer does. The lead singer
They looks. All look like fat bulldogs, basically.
I wouldn't even say bulldog. It looks like Miss Wynn. I'm not even going to like say it
Miss
looks like,
Wynn.
I'm not going to generalize it, say it looks like a bulldog or anything. It was just like a butt-chained woman. Was the lead singer.
I think
with an angelic voice.
Miss Wynn, I've described other females,
like
I've described other girls like this since then, but this was the first woman I ever described, and I think it was the most apt comparison. This is the first person I've ever described as Miss Piggy.
I was about to say, I won't get into the history of Miss Wynn. Maybe
no,
for
it's
cat.
It's petty.
Well,
it's
she
petty.
Played,
it is
she
petty,
played
but,
rugby.
But picture Miss Piggy. To get Miss Wynn, you
with
picture
a small
Miss,
nose.
Miss Piggy. A little smaller nose. Frizzier hair. Mm. Let that sink in.
And played rugby in college. A lot of rugby.
Probably.
We're going to release her home address in the next episode. But this wasn't what you wanted to rant about, was it?
This is not what we wanted to rant about. Pete and I were talking
about.
Can I take
the chain off of this puppy here?
Oh, yeah. All right. So we were discussing the fundamental difference between men and women, which is something Pete and I often...
wasn't privy to this conversation, so
no,
I'm curious.
You weren't invited. This is bros only.
That's fine. That's a fundamental difference between...
So we were talking, basically, and the concept I brought up, or we both sort of like interchangeably brought up, this was like this was a true discussion. You know, we both brought even things to the table. And the conclusion we came to, and this is like the finest... Like this is the
I've already forgotten. So
oh, you have.
Quit the preface, cut with the chase.
All right.
What I,
so what we were
I,
saying
what
was,
am I angry about?
This is like one thing.
Because I assume my viewpoint was angry.
Oh yeah, we
as
were
my
angry.
Default
this
viewpoint.
Is like the one. This is one thing we could come to put our finger on as the difference between men and women. Okay, on this podcast, I will rant for as much time as you guys will give me to tell Steve Miller that he's a fucking hack, he sucks, and he needs to go fuck himself.
Yeah, you have a minute and a half left, by the way.
Exactly.
Speaking of how long we'll last.
Whereas women...
Longest cast
will,
ever.
For some reason, to their... To other, to the say Steve Miller was right in front of me, I'd be like, Steve Miller, like, fuck you. Like,
this isn't what we were talking about.
Yes, it is. But whereas women will, like, put on this social face and just talk to Steve Miller. You know what I mean?
Interesting that you chose the Steve Miller analogy.
I know, because that's something I really
hate.
Women
love Steve Miller.
You know what I'm just saying?
But the fact that someone would relate to that. Like, it's like, so women hate this thing or whatever.
Yeah, whereas...
It's like, but Steve Miller would be a prime example.
No, but whereas a woman... Whereas a woman would be like, wow, I really hate Steve Miller, but I'm going to be so nice to his face, and then I can't wait to get behind closed doors to talk about Steve Miller behind his back.
That's true. There's the direct confrontation.
No, but what we're talking about is men get off on the fact that... It's just like, you're a faggot, dude. Fuck you. Like, I'm going to make fun of you in your face because you're a tool.
I try to pick my battles, though.
I know you do, but every once in a while, it does feel great to just, like, tell someone that they suck and call them out.
When you're unambiguously correct, too, especially when someone has wronged you, and it's not sort of this convoluted history of I've wronged you, you've wronged me, blah, blah. When someone has just wronged you, and it's just, you know, tangible... Mm-hmm. And you can just, it's just clear, and you can just go off on some righteous anger feels so good.
Yeah, chicks don't do that face to face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The perspective I was kind of putting it in was basically, say there's someone you hate in your social group.
Okay.
And it's
this is much more accurate.
Well, what I'm saying, it's not that you necessarily hate this person, is what I'm saying. It's that everything they do annoys you. Just to your core annoys you. As a person, you are kind of repulsed.
Pete?
But anyway, there's one person in your group that, or whatever, a person you associate with that repulses you, essentially, as a male. This is coming from my viewpoint, that just you dislike.
Okay.
You know, everything they do like peeves you. You can't quite describe it.
Peeves is a good word, yeah.
And women can understand this. They can understand why the person sucks. They dislike him also, or her, or whatever. But the thing is, though, it's the type of thing that brews with you inside, and you just kind of want to either be passive-aggressive or just ask them a lot of questions to kind of just bring them
down.
Call
them out on things. Or
if you're bold enough, just tell them you don't like them. And like what they've been bringing to the table socially really pisses you off.
Yeah, and it's like inadequate.
For women, it will piss them off the same amount, or not even piss them off. They'll notice it enough, and it bothers them. But they have more fun. Or whatever it is.
Yeah, I said they get off on it. They get off on it more.
The way Glenn puts it is they put off on it.
They get off on it more.
But, they prefer to just kind of talk shit about it.
Behind the back.
Behind the back. It's like you two are hanging out. You're hanging out with...
Oh, yeah, and the more they hang out with them, the more material they have
to
dissect.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part.
The thing is, though,
they want to hang out with
them to get
more material.
It's just like, well, let's stop hanging out with that person or whatever. But they would rather just perpetuate... the social standard of just being nice to them, and they're in your social setting.
In your inner circle.
And then when you're in your own private setting.
And if everyone agrees they all dislike a person, that's the interesting thing for me. It's because I've seen that dynamic happen to a lesser extent. It's not as deliberate with guys, though. But when it's unanimous that an entire social group dislikes one person, and they still keep that person around, not just because it's the status quo, but because it's just sort of to acquire fuel to keep the engine rolling.
Well, yeah. And it's almost nice
validation. I don't know what that word means.
It's almost nice to have like, well, that's someone I can like target all of my anger towards, and I can kind of vent on this douchebag. But like, eventually, that person will no longer want to hang out with you.
Yeah,
in guys' terms,
the chick will go back for
the
punishment,
chick will
though.
Keep coming back for more. Not only, but also, chicks will never deal that killing blow. Where it's like, you are like a fucking loser. They'll never like grab you
unless
to the point
it's
where
a
you're
90s. Unless it's a 90s teen comedy where they throw dog food at him in public or whatever.
But that shit never really happens. Chicks will never really call out.
In the 80s, chicks were more honest. Nick just proved it.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever seen Carrie? Those are the girls
that
I want to date.
Never have today.
Carrie
today,
or the girls
those
who
chicks,
ruined her.
Those chicks would have hung out with
the
Carrie.
The girls who ruined her.
Until the sequel. Like, the first Carrie never would have
until
happened.
She's a rape victim.
They would have
had
to keep filming the movie, and then she would have become a rape victim. They never would have made fun of her, and then it would have kept going, and then somewhere in Carrie 2, she would have just, like, blown her shit
this
up.
This is not a hard and fast rule, though. There are certainly, I've seen exceptions to this. I mean, there's the Stetson principle. I don't want to throw last names around on the show, but there's the Stetson principle where... or the DVH principle, where they know that they're loathed by the group that they're pursuing, and everyone knows it. It's a common knowledge, and they hate it, but they keep going
back. But those are guys. Whereas chicks, the chick will never let on. Like, they'll always, like, flirt around with the idea that they're possibly not liked as much as the other girls in the group, but then they'll always, at the end of it, include them in whatever group activity is about to happen. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It'll always be like, oh, we're going to...
And then
to
you say, why don't you invite Denise? Why don't you just not invite Denise to things? Like, well, I have to invite
her. It's like, we have to invite her. Like, we're all getting ready for the dance.
I guess
the male mentality is more like, save that shit for when you're 50 and you're having your dinner party.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or when there's actually some sort of networking benefit to it, where, you know, beyond just, you know, being friends with someone. But I think another component to it as well is that in... the female, especially in the adolescent and teen years world, the same way that money is the lifeblood of modern society, in that society, it's whatever social capital it is, which is often tied to money, but not necessarily. And if a girl is loathed by all, mm-hmm. by inviting her along, even if you treat her like shit, in some way, it's like doing social pro bono work slash charity.
Yeah,
you can feel good about yourself
thing that
for inviting a chick along.
That's definitely true.
It's like the forced play date enforced on yourself.
Guys won't just hang out and, like, basically... It's the form of, like, a social punching bag, only they're not punching you. It's like, basically, you're just like... Yeah, pro bono is the best way to describe it. A guy would never just hang out with someone he hates and is annoying and, like, insults him
unless
and makes bad jokes.
Unless it's a really funny meta comedy like Dirk was doing with Magu.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But that's entirely different.
Well, because that kid's a
you
genius.
You have to be such a... Yeah, you have to be, like, a sick genius to do that shit.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to threaten the entire
but,
East Coast of the United States
the
with his mega
like,
weapon.
The percentage of a girl who will hang out with someone she like despises
much
as a
higher.
Best friend versus a guy who will hang out. Oh, it has to be like 15% to 85%. It really has to be.
Probably.
If not more.
In a weird way, even though this is not what's projected, but I feel like we're almost the more compassionate gender. In a very bizarre
it's ripping
way.
Off
we
the band-aid
truly
quick.
Care. You mean we care for people we actually like?
Exactly.
That's the difference between men.
Women can cut that off. Women could love a guy for years, and then all of a sudden, if he's not financially providing for them once they get married and have kids,
yeah, it's like, well, I
they
need
could
to
leave him.
Yeah, well, I need to like
men,
make
men,
a future
this
for myself.
Thing. It's like a chick couldn't be doing shit, and it's just kind of like, well, I love her though, like as a person.
No, absolutely.
Even though that's what they supposedly. Hold high.
Yeah, it's like
ladies, step it up.
Yeah,
You've earned this.
It's true. Like,
mothers, lock up your daughters. It's click it or ticket.
Ryan, what time signature was that? That's a drop. 1:07. Do some fucking work and make that a drop. You're just looking at me.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
All right, so
hold on, Ryan. You got the mic.
I think it is.
Explain why that won't work, Ryan.
Because. Some Mexican stole my mixer.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Ryan is lazy. Lazy.
Well, because he said
unlike the
just...
Mexicans who took the time to steal his mixer.
Yeah, and will work their fucking asses off.
Does that make it a mixer?
You're more lazy than a Mexican, Ryan. There
shitty
we
wordplay
said.
Here on Click It or
Ticket. More lazy than a Mexican.
And I'm not
click
saying Mexicans are lazy. In fact, we just proved how they are not. They are an assertive people, unlike Ryan!
Speaking of Mexicans and gender roles, listener Alyssa sent in... just a bio. I didn't understand what exactly was the significance of it until I scrolled down. It's a profile for Johnny Weir, who's an American Olympic figure skater, male. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is silly, male figure skating. But I scrolled down to the Did You Know trivia about Johnny Weir at the bottom of this page sent in. All right, he owns two dogs. Guess the breed.
I'm going to say...
He's a figure skater?
Male figure skater. And he's.
Can
he's,
we have any more information
where's he from?
To glean from
he's
him?
Fabulous. He has a fashion line in Korea called Be Unique.
Oh, all right. That's good enough. I just wanted one more little gem.
They have to be chihuahuas, and I'm not trying to look at your shit.
They
have to be small dogs.
Okay, you're guessing two chihuahuas.
They're the same breed. Two dogs.
I'm going to say, like chihuahuas or like some small terrier.
Yeah,
thing.
I was thinking chihuahua right off the bat. I'm going to guess Yorkshire Terrier.
It was Chihuahua, but you had to guess.
That was the obvious choice.
He seemed fabulous.
That's why I asked for more information.
Well, thanks for your competitive spirit, and thanks for your accuracy, Glenn. Two Chihuahuas.
Guess. Thanks for your accuracy, Glenn. That's all I got.
Oh, now you know how it feels
I said
like...
thanks for your competitive spirit.
Yeah, because you didn't win.
No, thanks for your accuracy, Glenn. What is that?
Yeah, this is a reenactment. This is a reenactment of Guess the Gender of the Offender.
Drew Carey, that makes you that hideously obese monster who, like, Jabba the Hutt chick, who I know.
Oh! Goo-goo!
Yeah, yeah, you're like a big old lop of shit. I don't know where your tits...
You mean gender-related thing? Gender-related things? Pete knows that.
All right, Pete.
Ryan Canty drafts on this. Yeah, so basically, hold on. Let's break this down for a sec before you get into
I thought
this.
I said thanks for your competitive spirit, and then I said, you know, I wanted to congratulate both of you on what you brought to the table on that particular question. After I said thanks for your competitive spirit, Pete.
Because you guessed.
Because you deliberately guessed the less likely answer.
You did guess
yeah,
second.
And I said it. So why are you pissed about it?
He did guess second, and I guessed first. So yeah. I guess I locked in the answer. You agreed with me.
Yeah. So, and so he guessed something else to make it more interesting, which is a competitive spirit.
All right.
All right.
You just turned his mic off?
Pete just turned his own mic off. All right. Well, all right, Pete, first
thanks
guess.
Thanks for your accuracy, Nick.
You want your first guess there, Pete? You want your first guess on this next one?
Why not?
All right. His favorite. Who's his idol? Who's his non-figure skater idol? His, like, role model, his...
Well, Vin Diesel. This is very obvious. Glenn?
Vin Diesel.
Glenn is his idol?
Jack Bauer and Vin Diesel.
I'm going to say Johnny Depp.
Okay. You're sticking with Vin Diesel?
A mixture between Vin Diesel and Jack Bauer.
I will say this is a much more difficult.
This is much more difficult
than Chihuahua.
The answer is Christina Aguilera.
He is such a queen.
A woman the same age as him is his
who
idol.
Who hasn't done shit, surprisingly.
No, and hasn't even released an album. And
okay.
She has DirecTV commercials
keep
now.
Keep rolling.
All right. Right, there are four answers to this next one.
Okay.
We'll let Pete go first again because that was harder. Favorite TV shows? Any guesses?
Oh, I have my guess locked in. I'm waiting for Pete.
What do you think? One of
there are four.
Four. So any one of the guess any one of these.
Oh God, Laguna Beach.
That's a good guess, but incorrect.
How recent is this article?
This is these are all very contemporary. This is
Jersey Shore.
Oh, good guess. This is a contemporary. By the way, this is his profile on the USA Figure Skating on the Olympic website. This isn't like the Johnny
Biggest Loser.
No.
A Survivor?
No, unfortunate.
All right, Glenn.
All right.
Oh, sorry. There are five. Do you want to take a fifth guess? Sorry, my bad.
Oh, yeah. Keep going, Pete.
Even you're not these answers are gay, but they're not nearly gay enough.
All right. I'm ready.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Too gay.
All right.
Fuck.
America's Next Top Model.
Before you start, Dancing with the Stars. I fail consistently, and people are always like, Pete, it's just too gay.
All right, are we ready?
Story of my
life.
So
I said America's Next Top Model.
And
Dancing with the Stars.
No.
America's Got Talent.
Nope.
American Idol.
Nope.
Holy shit.
Wow.
I've exhausted like an enfilade of like gayness right now.
You guys
now.
Are all
Where's
you guys
your
are
God
all
now?
This is one of those things. It's like throwing knives at a person at a carnival where all the knives are just around the outline.
Or Call of
person.
Duty.
Extreme Home Makeover with Ty Pennington.
Nice. All right, the answers were
that was too gay again.
The answers were Ugly Betty.
Oh.
BBC World. Desperate Housewives.
Shit.
Gossip Girls and Project Runway.
Oh, I should have guessed Project Runway.
You know what?
America's Next Top Model. There was a clue.
Glenn, donate yourself because you know what? We named some really gay shows.
Yeah.
And you know what? It just goes to show television is gay. Gay people cannot complain because I would guarantee about 90% of appeals to them.
No, at least
other popular shows.
At least 50% of popular programming.
And also, gay people go out there and vote because if you are the majority, as I have said. Go out and vote because you deserve fucking rights, and it's fucking hilarious.
Do you want one last?
Dude, if you're gay, believe me, and you vote, you're voting against basically old people and then like 15% of people who aren't really old who like remember to go vote. For some reason, old people don't forget to vote.
That's all, because that's all they have. That's the only event in their life.
So if you're gay and you're proactive, you're like way ahead of the curve. You want shit to get passed. Like, you are basically They always say that, like, your representation in a state like, I don't know, let's say like New York is or something, or like, no, it's like your representation in like New York versus Wyoming, like Wyoming, they have like you have like 17 times a representation.
Oh, yeah.
But if you actually vote and you're within the demographic of like 20 to 30, like, there's no one voting in that age range compared to you. Like, you have,
except
like...
Except for Obama.
Yeah. No, well, Obama brought out a lot of the young vote. But, like, just
Obama
vote.
Obama equals
just vote.
18 votes.
Anyone young voting, like, just do it. Like, there's no one else voting. Like, everyone
political
is so lazy.
Times here on Click It or Take It.
No, we're just lazy.
Glenn,
and, like,
Puff Daddy times here on Click It or Take It.
Vote or die, basically, is what I'm saying.
There's one last Johnny Weir hilarious point of trivia. What sport, if you consider figure skating a sport, did he quit in order to pursue his love
swimming.
Of homoerotic sliding around on ice?
Well, I suppose ice hockey seems like the logical
gymnastics or swimming
thing, but I'm not going to say that.
No, this is all just, it's this entire...
Could I get the dimensions on the guy?
5'9".
And
wait.
That's, it doesn't say. Fabulous.
Gymnastics or swimming? Actually, 5'9".
And he gave up this sport.
5'9", track and field or gymnastics?
All right. He performed at age 12. He, after watching the 1994 Olympic women's gold medalist, Oksana Baiula, on TV, trying out jumps on roller skates in his family's basement. He switched to ice in the winter when the cornfield behind his house froze over. He performed an axel after 1 week of lessons and quit blank for skating for financial reasons.
Hockey.
I mean, hockey was my initial guess, but I'm going to have to go with, like, kind of an
I just know that hockey or skiing
answer.
Is expensive, and it's the only the winter sport I can imagine you quitting to pursue figure
I'm
going to
say football.
It's wonderful how consistently fabulous this guy is. The answer is he quit equestrian.
Oh, my God. That is so gay.
Yeah.
That is so gay.
It's an expensive sport, though. You know what?
It's so expensive.
I didn't answer that.
I thought it was a fair clue.
Like, a good horse costs like $100,000.
The thing is, though, that proves how fabulous he was. Because, like, to be an equestrian, you have to be a jockey, pretty much.
He was not living a lie.
And when we heard 5'9", he's not a jockey.
He's a lithe little fucker.
So that's what I'm saying. It speaks to how fabulous he was.
Equestrian is different than horse racing, though.
Still, though, fabulous.
No, but equestrian, you need to be taller and stronger. Because you're
regardless
doing
if you're
so
not
like
jockey,
5'9",
jumps
say?
And all that shit. But it is really fabulous that he liked having a huge steed.
No, you can't say harder and stronger. If you're riding a horse, you just want to be a jockey. You want to be tiny and know how to command it.
For jumping, it's
you want more weight on it?
No, not that, but like it's different than like the jockey racing where it's like all about just running and
still if you're a jockey and know your shit, say you're a jockey proportion and there's some other guy who's an equestrian guy who's 5'9", about like 175. Like but they have the same amount of knowledge how to command a horse and whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the jockey.
Well, obviously
the guy
you want
can
the
jump
jockey.
Much higher. He weighs less. That's the whole point.
Yeah,
it comes to a point, but like the jockey, the reason you want him.
But
to
you're
be,
saying he was bigger and stronger, and that would affect
you.
It.
No, it does. It does for the jumping.
I'm
like,
curious. Enlighten me.
Just allow me to explain myself.
Okay. Yeah. Right. That's what I'm doing.
So
I'm
a jockey, right? One of my
you
friends.
Let me explain myself.
What am I like? My best friend in New Hampshire.
Shut up,
Ian,
times here.
His like his
it,
mom ran equestrian, and your weight like can fairly vary for like the cross country thing. Because it's the horse, for the jockey, basically it's running. And it doesn't really matter if you weigh like 100 and... As long as you can hold your weight... Yeah. I understand. Pete's giving us the... we have 2 minutes
that's
left.
Useful.
So basically, you don't want to hinder the horse, but you want to be like set in as much as possible and just like ride with the horse. You're not... Like when you're running long distance... You don't want to hinder the horse by like bouncing around. You really want to just kind of like glide along top.
So you want to get in a rhythm
so
with it?
So if you were underweight as a jockey, they penalize you with the amount of weight you were under by putting weight in like a saddlebag or in the back of the horse.
Oh, they do that?
Yes, which is cumbersome.
For like,
you know what I mean? It's cumbersome, and the horse can't run with it as well.
Well, that's a little unfair. Because
No. It's absolutely fair. You need to meet an exact weight for long distance horse racing.
Yeah, but equestrian is usually short jumps and.
Yeah, but for the jumps and everything, if you can balance perfectly and like launch yourself with the horse and everything, I guarantee
but they weigh you down
a
for the
slightly
equestrian
more
thing?
Muscular no. person who weighed maybe 10 pounds more. would like 10 pounds more than a jockey would be much better than just the straight outs, like running, like long distance running.
Glenn hating on jockeys.
I think what Pete's saying, though, is that all things being equal.
It's a lot about posture and like how good you are at like
riding
a
horse.
I think Pete was saying, though, all things being equal, let's say that these two jockey A and jockey B have the same posture, technique, know-how. You'd just rather the guy weigh less if they're exactly the same in every other respect.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of, like, it's very strange. I don't know if you guys have ever jumped horses. And I'm like a big dude, you know? It's like very hard for, I don't know if it's very hard.
You're like a tall dwarf.
I always felt bad when I had to jump a horse. But I like, you really have to jump off at the same point. Like when the horse is jumping, you're like kind of jumping with it. And you really just, you don't want to leave the horse, like even a
millimeter.
Listen,
dude, in Ocarina of Time, I cleared the bridge every fucking time on Epona. So I don't know.
The thing is, though,
and I just sat stationary.
An insane jockey, though, could lift himself up, and he weighs less.
But like, I really can't see like going for like cross country. A jockey being as good as like a normal size.
Well, Johnny Weir gave it up at age 12. He was probably sprightly, 4'8", 95.
And how many jumps are you doing in cross country?
It's all you do a ton. You
good
cross country.
Jockey's so lighter. And if the horse is already trucking it, you want the lighter guy.
No, the horse. It's a different sport. It's literally cross country running.
When I'm rich,
running across country,
I'm going to commission two horses, and you will get to pick your guy, and I'll pay for it, and you get to pick your super jack dude.
I will raid my like.
Oh, you're 5'8 jet, like in shape, dude.
5'8.
All right, so Robert Downey Jr. versus my like sick, measly, like disgusting elvish style jockey, and I will dominate the day. So the day is mine.
My 5'8 guy who weighs 155 pounds versus your jockey weighs like 118 pounds.
Yeah, who has just the same amount of skill, if not more experience.
Okay, we're shaking on air right now.
Shaking.
There's shaking going on.
I'm notarizing. All
right, so
shake.
That's it, Pete. You want to take us out?
That's my day.
Oh, all right. So this is Glenn Marshall taking us out then, because Pete's being a huge post.
Well, nobody asked me if I
want
to take it out.
Nick, you want to take us out?
All right, I'd like to be asked, but I'd like to be asked.
Good night. No. This is an awkward place to end.
Do we want to talk about Glenn had a pretty sweet New Year's Eve outfit out here up in Boston.
Did I?
It wasn't so much a New Year's Eve outlet.
I discovered
he bought it at the outlet store for New Year's Eve. Yeah. But
and that's the whole story.
It was his entire Alston outfit.
I wore
it
while
he wore
I was
fake glasses.
I wore glasses that did not have a prescription,
just,
but they had lenses.
And a cowboy hat.
And
he looked, as I described it, he looked like a character from Gears of War 3, which hasn't even existed.
I was basically,
but he looked
like it. I was just trying to fit in.
He had a camo t-shirt on, a leather, like, Indiana Jones style fedora, and, like, emo glasses.
Yeah. It was great.
It's like Where's Waldo really rich?
So for my first 3 days in Boston, I wore that outfit, and then my second 3 days, I didn't. And I feel like people didn't think I was from Alston the second 2 days. They're just like, oh, look at this fucking tourist. You know what I mean? Everyone in Alston is like poor hipster trash. It is amazing. I love that shit.
Well, we're loving this shit.
Yes.
Click it or
so this is our first.
So we
end
this one annoying the fact that
Glenn
loves Alston.
I do love Alston.
And that I love this year.
Ray for Alston.
All right, 2010, babies.
Good night.
You're all newbies in this game. Pwn. All right, good night, everybody.